Here we go. And can you just state your name and say you give me permission?
Yes, my name is Jules Friedman, and I'm authorizing you to use whatever I have to offer here.
Thanks.
Okay.
So just tell me a little bit about your connection to Women with a Point.
Kind of began when I with me working in a gay bar.
Okay.
And became just aware of all the things that were going on in the 80s. HIV was just about to terrorize everybody, and got me involved in certain organizations that were around at the time, including the Aliveness Project.
Okay.
And I worked with them for about 15 years.
Wow, and they were based in Minneapolis?
They're in South Minneapolis,
okay.
Yeah. And they're a drop-in center for people living with HIV and AIDS. From there, my name kind of got spread around a little bit, and I got involved with a few other organizations, including with Sue Purchase, who had just started Women with a Point, and was working with about a $30,000 a year budget for herself and all the product that she was distributing. She asked me to help her get squared away, and I think we may have had to file for a 501c3 at that point. And we wanted to try to grow the organization so that she could draw a real salary and we could become much more helpful in the community and distributing needles, which was had to be done in the dark of night because everybody was looking for distribution points.
Yeah.
We wound up doing quite well with distributing the needles. Sue was incredible at making contacts with the people who needed it and being available 24/7. And we realized that we could really expand just on this basic vision that she had for the organization. And I want to say hello to her.
Yeah, sure. No problem.
Hey, Sue.
Yeah, no problem.
Oh my God.
We will talk.
So from a one-man show that she was, we turned it into, we found funding through CDC.
Okay.
Had to jump through a million hoops there and be trained in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where CDC is.
I think it is too.
Yeah.
Atlanta,
yeah. And we grew the organization to about 7 or 8 people, I think.
Okay.
Maybe more. And we're distributing needles like crazy and information, and not just needles, but it was the information, the education portion.
Right.
And
she was in charge of the kind of bringing
correct.
That all together.
Correct.
Yeah.
We had, at that point when we had so many people, we were able to designate different roles for people.
Sure.
And it worked out a heck of a lot better than having everything on her shoulders.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it amazed me that, and you know, we went from servicing, so to speak, a couple dozen people in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
hundreds, maybe thousands. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just incredible, and people were very happy to get the education
mm-hmm.
and to try to move on with their lives.
Yeah. Well, wasn't it basically, I mean, you mentioned another organization, but one of only a few that were really modeled around this harm reduction model. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The Aliveness Project was more based around HIV, but as that grew from, it was nothing but a volunteer organization in, I think, 85 when we started it, to several million dollar organization now with all kinds of different services that they offer to the people
mm-hmm.
who get to come there for free. Kind of, you have to have HIV or AIDS,
yeah, sure.
which is a pretty high price to pay.
Right.
But they get free services. and education, and it's been a great thing for them too. I really enjoyed working there, and I still volunteer for them periodically, just because it's a place where it's more enabling them to, empowering them to get back into life.
Yeah.
That's kind of what went on with Women with a Point as well. We had some people that were on the outskirts of society. And
this was their link.
And it helped.
Yeah, right.
It helped.
Yeah. So so just talk a little bit about what exactly you did with Women with a Point.
Just administrative work. I did their accounting for them. I did, as I said, I don't know why I don't remember, but I can't remember if we had to go through the 501c3 filing. Any of those processes were long processes, the same with the CDC, in determining whether we would be funded by them, first of all, then how the funding worked, and the reporting, and they were just going online at that time themselves, so it was learning all new systems too.
Yeah, and so the funding was mainly for HIV and not...
I'm not completely sure about that. Sue would be a better resource.
Right, sure.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I was just on the outskirts of everything.
It sounds like you really, did a lot of work, though. You were part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you say you were working in the gay bar, and that kind of like got you involved in harm reduction or needle exchange, or what exactly? What exactly brought you to the organization?
Interesting question, because I don't even know where to start or stop, but I'm not gay, but I found that there was a bartending job that was available there. I was the only straight guy in the place in the 80s, and in the 80s, the place was, where I worked was just jam-packed. Thousands of people passed through the doors every night, and somehow they accepted me, and I certainly accepted them. I love the fact that they were so open and accepting of other, of all the different varieties of people that were in there. That was my introduction to the gay lifestyle, and I wouldn't have missed it for anything. And getting close to some of the, becoming friendly with quite a few of the customers there, just took me off in different directions. We started a running club. A couple of customers that wanted to open their own hair salon. I helped them get involved in the financing and the administrative end, because I seem to understand that. I don't know how. I don't have a degree in it. So I helped. And that led to, by working there for 8 years, I started seeing more and more people missing periodically. There was a huge problem in the 80s with, there was a mass murder that was going around strangling people, gay people. There were the people that developed HIV, and it was pretty bizarre because, there were people, they were no different to me. They'd come in one day and they're okay, come in the next day and there's something wrong, obviously, and they tell me about it, and we talk it through and see if there was anything, any information that we could get. And I started picking up information about where to send them, which was, I thought, pretty good. So that was helpful to them, it felt good to me, and over the course of time, I've lost an awful lot of friends to AIDS. Dozens and dozens. It was a god-awful time until they finally were able to figure out the drug situation with it. And it also seemed to start affecting people outside of just the gay community. So when I got involved at the Aliveness Project, again, they hired me for $2 an hour or whatever it was. to do their bookkeeping for them. And I started to discover that they only had a few hundred members at the time, a couple hundred, as a matter of fact. And as I stayed there and as everything grew there, I wound up, I think there's like 1,000, 1,500 members now. And of those members, the landscape changed completely. It went from this all-gay group to African-Americans, Hispanics, straight people, kids, entire families with kids. So it was created to become a drop-in center for people. Get them out of their house, because otherwise they get this diagnosis that they've got HIV or AIDS. I'll tell you, one time I was actually the executive director temporarily there, and I had this one guy come in who couldn't even talk when he first came in the office, and he was in tears, and they sent him to me because nobody else could deal with him. He had just been told that day by his dentist that his blood test came back and he was positive. And that's all they said to him. They called him on the phone to tell him that, and he figures, I'm a dead man.
Exactly, it's a death sentence.
Yeah, and couldn't deal with it, so we just talked through it and let him say whatever he wanted to say. And I'd have to say that story really kind of sticks with me, as well as one other one that I can remember of a guy that came in who was very straight. He just got his diagnosis, and he was healthy as could be, and I think within a week he died. He essentially worried himself to death, stressed out by it, and he couldn't deal with it at all. So anyway, the Aliveness Project was a drop-in center for people to get them out of their house, get them back into society, and feed them. We had offered meals there, massage therapy, acupuncture, dog grooming, haircuts, all kind of stuff.
And needle exchange?
We didn't do needle exchange there, but through them we would get referrals. We had quite a few addicts that we would then refer to women with a point. And then I somehow got connected with Sue.
It just sounds like, you know, as a bartender and just, you know, with those stories, talking to people was a huge part of just listening and
it sure sucked me into the group. I just fell in love with the people that I worked with, the customers, and I just thought they were so open and appreciative of everybody that came in. There was very little prejudice. They'd have spats, of course, but there was no prejudice there. I thought it was the best world I'd ever been in. I think way back then I decided I just wanted to be able to give something back.
And what's your educational background?
Had a couple of 2.5 years of college and dropped out, so not much.
And you're from Minnesota? You're from Minneapolis?
I'm originally from Missouri.
Okay. What brought you up here?
After I dropped out of college, I was just roaming around the country, especially in the Midwest. I got to Chicago. I lived there for about 6 months. Finally decided one day it was too dirty for me, I had to leave. I started driving and wound up on a freeway that brought me here. It was the middle of winter, and I should have been scared stiff of it, but it was great.
That's amazing. Anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up? Anything we didn't talk about you want to bring up?
No, you got me talking about more things than I thought I'd be talking about. like I say, I was just on the periphery of all of this, but trying to help from the outside.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you really did. You were involved in several different things. And
I think so.
Yeah, sounds like you did a lot. So.
Very feel-good part of my life.
Yeah, sure. What do you do now, if you don't mind me asking?
I still do administrative work and accounting work.
Okay.
Work for a private firm. I couldn't care less if I get fired or quit tomorrow. But it's a job.
Yeah. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.